When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. And we've got NBA basketball center stage. It is the Kings and the Bucks. No Chris Middleton for Milwaukee. Still waiting on the word on whether Keegan Murray is going to be able to play or not. A brutal 24-hour stretch for Sacramento because they play the Lakers tomorrow, who are idle tonight. And the Kings are 3-0 versus the Lakers this year. And we know how the Kings normally play on the second of back-to-backs. Listen, I don't know what Kings team is going to show up tonight. They don't scare anybody, you know. And if they go out and beat the Bucks tonight, I wouldn't bat an eyelash, all right? This is the same team that barely beat San Antonio, lost to Houston, lost to Chicago. If they beat Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, nothing would surprise me. Nothing would surprise me. You just don't know with this team. But right now, with Phoenix beating Cleveland last night, Cleveland had nobody playing. Phoenix is at Boston next. You figure they're going to lose that game. Then they're at Charlotte. They're going to win that game in all likelihood. Then they are against Denver. So there's a very good chance that the Suns are going to lose two of their next three games. Same goes I take that back. It was Oklahoma City, not Denver, after Charlotte. I believe I got that right. Dallas has the Warriors, then at OKC, right? And then Denver. So, I mean, they could lose two out of three. Here's the bottom line. These opportunities are going by – I want to back up. Phoenix has Boston, Charlotte, Milwaukee. Those are the next three games. Beg your pardon. Dallas has Golden State, Oklahoma City, Denver. So, I mean, if you lose tonight and lose tomorrow – you're wasting these opportunities while your competition is facing their toughest part of their schedule. The fact that Phoenix got a gift from Cleveland, you know, that's huge. They're not going to get from Boston, that's for sure. Right? We'll see. You know, with Phoenix, it's all about health. That's for sure. All right, NFL, crazy free agency, right? Teams making moves left and right. Running backs. Hey, listen. Running backs are on the move. Running backs are on the move. Barkley leaves the Giants. Pollard leaves the Cowboys. Henry leaves the Titans. Jones is no longer a Packer, goes to Minnesota. Jacobs is no longer a Raider. I mean, the running back position is crazy, is it not? And it's like, okay. Your existing team doesn't want to pay for you. You'll find someone else. So a lot of good running backs on the move. And a lot of good players are on the move. And that's what happens when you have a hard cap, right? That's exactly what you expect when you have a hard salary cap. So, you know, and a guy that I'm really disappointed in, when I say disappointed in, I'm not disappointed in the individual. I'm disappointed in the situation. And that's Eric Armstead. The Sacramento product, who was not able to restructure his deal with the 49ers, and he's going to be playing elsewhere. I mean, he's just a great guy, great family, community-oriented person, really good defensive lineman. And it's really a shame that a guy that grows up in Northern California, that did everything both on and off the field, and now he's going to be going elsewhere. I do feel bad about that situation. I really do. I feel bad about that situation. you know, if you want to talk about anything else that's going on in the world of sports, we can do so. I don't want to talk about politics that much. I really don't. But what is wrong with our country? Seriously. I got to read on the internet that Robert Kennedy Jr., okay? Again, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s shortlist to be his running mate, Aaron Rodgers, and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura. Really? Really? You know, at least Jesse Ventura has been in the political arena. I got to wake up or go through the day and see that Aaron Rodgers is on a short list to be Vice President of the United States of America. What the hell is wrong with this country? Seriously. It's unbelievable to me. And Aaron's a friend of mine. I like Aaron. Don't get me wrong. It's just no wonder. Well, I'll just leave it right there. It's embarrassing. All right. Again, if you want to get in on the show today, raise your hand and we will do it. We can talk Kings. We can talk the rest of the NBA. We can talk NFL, whatever you want. What I do know about the NBA is that the Kings are no longer in the top six. All right. They are currently seventh in the West, but they are even in the lost column of Phoenix. So that's really what matters. Okay. But I'll tell you this, if you lose tonight and lose tomorrow on that second night of a back-to-back, then you could be easily in eighth place because you are tied right now with the Mavericks. All right. The Kings are 36 and 27 and Dallas is 37 and 28. There you have it. Now, it's better to be 36 and 27 than 37 and 28. But the point is, if you lose these next two games, okay, you would be in eighth. And if you lose tonight and lose tomorrow, then you're only a half game ahead of the Lakers. Digest that for a moment. So if you don't think these games are important, then you're delusional. All right. All right. NBA schedule tonight. Here are your games. The games that matter. Thunder hosts the Pacers. That should be a hell of a game. The Rockets and the Spurs, non-playoff teams. Wizards, Grizzlies, non-playoff teams. Celtics are at the Jazz. This will be a very good game. Minnesota is taking on the Clippers. And of course, it's the Bucks and the Kings. All right. Let me ask you something. All right. Do you have confidence in the Sacramento Kings? Do you have confidence in this team? Like, do you think that Sacramento is going to be a top six team? What do you think? You think they're going to be a top six team? I don't. And I'll tell you what else is problematic for me is the Kings' schedule, which is, to me, going to be unbelievably challenging. All right? After tonight, Lakers at home, Knicks at home. Anunoby is coming back. Memphis at home. Then at Toronto, at Washington, at Orlando. Here's where the schedule really perks up. Philly at home, Dallas at home, Dallas at home, Utah at home, Clippers at home. At the Knicks, may have Randall back by then. At Boston the next night, loss. At Brooklyn, playing better. At Oklahoma City. Pelicans who own you at home. Phoenix, which could determine whether you're in the play-in or not. And then Portland, the last game of the year. But that stretch beginning on the 26th of this month, Philly, Dallas, Utah, Clippers, at Knicks, at Celtics, at Brooklyn, at Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Phoenix, Portland at home. Brutal stretch. That's why I don't think the Kings are going to be a top six team. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Now, it's not like the other teams have easy schedules, but I'm looking at the Phoenix Suns, and if they get healthy, Booker, you know, right? Here's their schedule. All right. Again, they're at Boston, at Charlotte, at Milwaukee. Probably going to lose two of those games. Home Philly, home Atlanta. Two games at San Antonio, back-to-back. At Denver, at Oklahoma City, at New Orleans. That is a really difficult five-game stretch. All right? Two games at San Antonio, not difficult. At Denver, at Oklahoma City, at New Orleans. Then home Cleveland, home Minnesota, home New Orleans, home Clippers, at Sac, at Minnesota. I mean, that's a brutal schedule for the Phoenix Suns. All right? That's a very difficult schedule. And if they're not healthy, I could see them really faltering there. All right, let's look at the Mavericks. Again, the key is the two games in Sacramento coming up shortly. But Warriors, OKC, at home at San Antonio, home and home with Utah, at Sac, at Houston, at Golden State, Atlanta home, Golden State at home, Houston at home, at Charlotte, at Miami, Detroit home, at Oklahoma City. Much, much, much easier schedule than Sacramento or Phoenix. Keep that in mind. All right, let's get to Waggus. Waggus, how are you today, sir?
Doing good. Thanks, Grant. So I wanted to, you know, talk about the NFL for a second and the free agency. I personally believe that the Niners, and I know I'm saying this as a fan, they're going to take a step back. Obviously, I know we lost Armstead. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep, Kyle Juszczyk as well?
Right. Yep, they're trying to restructure his deal.
So my thing is this.
Why do you think you're taking a step back?
Well, I mean, if I'm looking at the division, right, Arizona's going to be better. Rams will be a little bit better. And I really think Seattle's going to be a whole hell of a lot better. They have a better, younger defense. And, they have a new coach now. And I think it's extremely difficult in the NFL to dominate like the Niners have done in the last 2 years, to continue to do that. And a lot of these players are now a year older, more injury prone, which kind of leads to my next question. You know, you got to understand the Niners were in the Super Bowl in 2019, and then next time they made it was in 23. So like a half a decade has gone by with this core of group. And, you know, I'm looking at Kittle and Debo. They're both injury prone. Don't you think the best time to get trade value out of them is right now instead of waiting a year? I mean, look at what happened with Russell Wilson, and that will give us that will set us up for the future, kind of retool a little bit, get a little bit younger.
No, No. I disagree with you 100%. The window is right now. The window is right now to win a Super Bowl. I'm not thinking about the future in any way, shape, or form. The Niners are Super Bowl caliber right now. I like them going out and getting Leonard Floyd. I think that's a good pickup. I actually like getting Gross Matos, you know, the defensive end. I thought that was a very good pickup. No, I disagree with you completely. I think the 49ers are Super Bowl ready right now. Who's better in the NFC than San Francisco?
I think Philly's going to be better again. You know, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah. Obviously,
they just lost Jason Kelce, their anchor of their offensive line. Okay. Which is going to be huge. Cox just retired. I have liked what they've done in free agency. I think picking up Barkley is a good move, although he's very injury prone. Dallas is still Dallas. As long as Dak Prescott's the quarterback, they're
Lions,
not a threat.
Packers. Lions, Packers.
Yeah. Packers. I think I think the Packers have had an excellent free agency. I think they've done very well so far. Lions, I'd agree, but I still think San Francisco is as good as any team in the NFC. I disagree with you. I think their window is right now to win a Super Bowl. That's with Debo. That's with Kittle. That's with everybody. I don't agree with you.
But I guess my question was more towards of, like, do you try to trade Debo or Kittle right now instead of waiting a year or two when they have no value?
I wouldn't. Okay. No.
Okay. I mean, okay. I mean,
I'm asking a rhetorical question.
Did
you watch the 49ers play last year when Debo Samuel wasn't on the field?
I did. You know,
okay. So you want to see a 49ers team without Debo Samuel on the team because they traded him? I mean, if I'm a Niners fan, that's the last thing I want to see.
I understand that, but you know, part of the reason is, you know, he's always injured, and I'm not saying trade both of them, but at least try to get some value. Let's see if we can get a little bit younger out there. I mean, the way he plays, you know, it's only a matter of time before, I hate to say it, before, you know, he takes one of those hits and he's out for another year again. That's all I was saying with that, you know, and
yeah, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
So, yeah. I mean, because it just seems like everybody else is going towards, you know, like if I look at the Packers, if I look at the Lions, right. Even to some degree, the Falcons, which I think Kirk Cousins was a horrible signing, but whatever, right? I'm looking at other teams that, you know, you're right. The Niners absolutely then would have to win next year, you know, because after that, you know, you're another year down with this core. And a lot of these teams, they're younger, they're faster. I mean, look at the Lions. Look at what they almost did on us. They ran up and down the field from us, right? So they're actually, what I'm trying to say is that they're actually going into their peak while I feel like we're at the peak and about to come down. That's all I
Yeah, you, that might be right, but you're at the peak. You're not coming down yet. You're still at the peak. And when you're at the peak, you add, you don't subtract. So to me, the 49ers are still as good as any team in the NFC. And I think that they would be making a huge mistake to disrupt the core of this team.
Okay. And so now I ask you, what do you think about, I mean, obviously the Steelers got Wilson. I think that's a great deal for them for $1 million for whatever, what is it, $2 million for a quarterback, right? So obviously they're, and it's a 1-year deal, right? So they're playing with house money, right? And obviously, while I don't think Russell Wilson is the same quarterback, it's definitely an upgrade from what they have. But talking about the Falcons, do you think that was a good move, given a quarterback who's won less playoff games than Dak Prescott, pretty much?
Well, I think Atlanta. I'll answer the question this way. I think the Falcons just got much better. I think they just became the favorite to win that division. So, yes, I actually think it was a very good move because I think they're the best team in that division now.
Okay.
Do I think he's like the next? Do I think he's Joe Montana? No, but he's a very good veteran quarterback. He's a tremendous leader and he makes the Falcons a better team.
Yeah, but he doesn't. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to ask is that, is it the goal to make a team better or make a team a Super Bowl contender? You know, because
every team tries to get to be a Super Bowl contender. But you know, in order to get to be in the Super Bowl, you got to get the playoffs first.
Well, no, I mean, I understand that, but I guess, Graham, what I'm really trying to ask you is that why wouldn't they go after a younger Fields? I mean, I just don't understand that.
Justin Fields ever done? What the hell has Justin Fields ever done? If Justin Fields is so good, how come the Bears have been entertaining trade offers for him the entire offseason? If you have a quarterback that you believe in, that you know is good, you don't do that.
So I disagree. I think Justin Fields is a great talent. He's in a horrible franchise. This is the same franchise that passed up on Patrick Mahomes, amongst others. And I think if you put him in the right situation with those dynamic, talented tight end and running back, he definitely has more upside than Kirk Cousins, Grant. That's all I'm saying. I mean, come on.
First of all, you and I are on opposite sides of the world. If I got to win a football game, I'm taking Kirk Cousins 100 times every single day over Justin Fields. I'm not taking Justin Fields if I got to win a game. What the hell has Justin Fields ever done? I mean, seriously, the guy is wildly inconsistent. You know, he makes it. I'm not a Justin Fields fan. I haven't been a Justin Fields fan. I'll take Kirk Cousins any freaking day of the week over Justin Fields. Not even close, in my opinion. Fine.
And this is where we disagree. But I do believe there's going to come a day where Fields is going to prove people wrong. I think he's extremely talented.
Well, that might be true, but I can't go. I don't have a crystal ball. I can only go by what I've seen. And what I've seen so far is if the Bears felt that way, they would have made it clear from day one of the offseason this year, Justin Fields is our quarterback. We're not even entertaining trade offers. We're not even looking that way. He's going to be our quarterback. That didn't happen in Chicago. Why is that? Because they're uncertain too. They don't know. And if you don't know, then that means you really don't have a good quarterback or you don't have your franchise guy. When you have your franchise quarterback, you don't ask questions like that. When you have your franchise quarterback, you don't let it swirl around in the rumor mill. When you have a franchise quarterback, you don't entertain trade offers. Think about that for a minute.
I get it. And part of your other argument is that no other team is bending over backwards to get him if they felt like he had any. I get it, because no other team has made a substantial offer. I just think he hasn't been given a fair opportunity to showcase his talent. I've seen bits of it. I really have. Now, I've seen horrible parts of it, too. But, you know, I mean, he's still young. And, you know, all I'm saying is within the rights. I mean, look at what Jared Goff is doing. I mean, the Rams pretty much gave him away. Now, I get that ended up being a good trade for them because they won a Super Bowl. But I just want to see him.
Yeah, but Jared Goff was a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl for the Rams. It's not like he was chopped liver.
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it. But, you know, okay. All right. Well,
Justin Fields, to me, could very well be a good quarterback someday. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that at all. All I'm saying is the Bears obviously have doubts, and they get a chance to watch him and be around him every day. That's alarming to me.
I guess part of the reason why, you know, I have this train of thought is, you know, Kirk Cousins is, what, 34, 35? And so, like, my whole thing is you want to try to get younger, right? And
not a quarterback. 34 or 35 is not, like, that old for a quarterback. I mean, look
not
at
anymore.
Aaron Rodgers. That's right. Yeah. So, no, I disagree with you. I don't think 34 or 30, whatever it is, I think he's 34. He still has a couple of real good years left in him if he stays healthy.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, you know what? I mean, yeah. So where do you think Fields ends up? Do you think he just ends up being a backup there now?
No, he's not going to end up being a quarterback. If he's in Chicago, he's their starting quarterback. I don't think they're not going to draft a quarterback. If they have Justin Fields, they're not drafting a quarterback. They've already, there's no way you're not drafting a quarterback if you have Justin Fields.
Okay, this is where I have to ask you this question. Well, if they don't really believe in the kid, then why aren't they drafting a quarterback?
It's a very good question. They're in a very difficult place. I think they would love to trade Justin Fields, but the market is not there for him. And I don't think as a franchise you can draft a quarterback if you just drafted a quarterback it's not like the Bears are completely down on him, but they haven't exactly wrapped their arms around him either. All right, let's say you draft Caleb Williams for sake of argument. Let's say the Bears draft Williams. What is that? If you think Justin Fields has a iffy trade market right now, what's the trade market going to be for him after that? Is it going to be a Baker Mayfield type of a deal?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty much,
right?
I mean, at that point, yeah. No, I get it. I felt like he was the second best quarterback in that draft. To some degree, maybe I'm right, you know, because number one was Lawrence, right? But we also have Brock Purdy, but I'm talking about the first round, right? So I just really want to, you know, see him in a system. And, you know, I mean, like, Grant, we see a lot of bad quarterbacks, you know, that are there and just keep on getting chances and are still with the right franchise. I'm just saying with his – I just feel like he has a lot of upside to him within the right system. That's just my
opinion. There are a lot of players in the NFL. There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that have a lot of upside, and they never materialize. I mean, I could name many of them, okay? We'll see. You know, I don't disagree with you. He hasn't had the best people around him. I think that's very true. You know, C.J. Stroud didn't exactly have a very talented offense, and look what he did with Houston. So, I mean, at some point, I do expect a quarterback to elevate his team. And I haven't seen that with Justin Fields.
Yeah, and as far as the Kings, you know, just watching these last couple of games, we barely won against San Antonio. We really should have lost that game. But I don't think the Kings can consistently or, be a good team or win a playoff series or two if they are unable to beat the teams that they should be beating. I know you talked about this for years. Unfortunately, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, that's why we're in seventh place, because easily I can go back and I can see we should really be in fifth place right now. I mean, if you actually go back and, you know, kind of drill down on the schedule. So, but, you know, that's all.
Well, here's my take. I think people overvalue the Kings. I think they're sexy to watch when they're all on. And I think it gives people a false sense of security. I don't think the Kings are anything more than a good team, and I've said that all season long. I personally don't think that they are going to be a top six team, and quite frankly, I'm not so sure they're even going to be in the playoffs.
When you say playoffs, you mean play-in?
No, play-in's not the playoffs. Playoffs are when you're in the playoffs, playing 1 through 8, then you're a playoff team. Play-in, if you're 7, 8, 9, or 10, that's not making the playoffs. Making the playoffs is either being a 1 seed through 8. That's the playoffs. Yeah. Being a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed is not the playoffs. That's not making the playoffs.
Yeah, and I know they match up well against the Lakers, but, you know, LeBron's going to turn it on in that game if we have to play him. It'd be a nice, exciting game for Sacramento. But I certainly do not see them being the Warriors. You know, the Warriors, I mean, you know, what are they, like 15-5 in their last 20 games of team?
Yeah,
like
but it all depends on Steph Curry's health. Yeah. You know, that's where we're at that's with the Warriors. True. If Steph Curry is not on the court, they're gonna lose. And if he's on the court, they got a good chance to win. That's really what it boils down to.
And do you think Steph Curry needs another title? The reason why I ask that is, in my generation, or I'm talking about 2000, and you would say 2000 and beyond. Obviously, LeBron's number one without a doubt. I have number two, Kawhi Leonard, for what he's done and been able to do. Now, he's been hurt a lot, but he's been able to go to franchises and lead a team with pretty much nothing, right? And he's been able to, you know, have big wins, right, and been up on teams. So I have him number two. Number three, I have Kevin Durant based on talent. Number four, I have Curry.
How could you not have Kobe in there?
Oh, well, excluding Kobe. Okay, excluding Kobe. What I mean is anybody that's drafted after like 2000. That's what I meant by that. Of course, I would have Kobe too, if not number one, right? Because of that. Yeah. So would you agree with that four? And would you think that Curry would need to win one more to kind of take over Kawhi?
No, he's way ahead of Kawhi.
From a talent point of view?
In my opinion.
Okay.
From everything legacy and everything. I don't think anyone would put, and I love Kawhi Leonard, but I can't put him ahead of Steph Curry. And I understand that, you know, what Kawhi did, you know, and what I think he did in Toronto was unbelievable, but I can't put him ahead of Steph Curry.
The reason why I do that is because Kawhi Leonard is a full package. He plays defense and he wants to play defense. And I know that's a lost cause these days, but that's important.
Yeah.
LeBron.
I don't disagree with that. But I can't put him ahead of Steph Curry. But that's just me. But you make a very good point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. Steph Curry kind of changed the game, so you got to kind of give him props. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, I just want to add this. Keegan Murray is out. Mike Brown said Keegan Murray is out and will not play tonight. And if he's out tonight, there's a good chance he won't play tomorrow against the Lakers. So, you know, keep that in mind.
And that's a huge game, too. So, potential seeding game. So. All right. Well, Grant, thank you. It's a pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure, Waggus. Take care. Bye-bye. Excellent call, as always. I think Waggus is way unrealistic. Well, not unrealistic. I think he's way down on the 40. Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth. He's not as confident in the 49ers as I am. I still think the 49ers had the best team in the NFC. And I can't predict injuries any more than you can. But right now, to me, I think they're the team to beat in the NFC. Ahead of the Lions, ahead of the Eagles. I still think the 49ers are that team. All right, again, if you want to get in on the show today, we can do so. Don't forget Ryan and Sacktown with the pregame show at 6:30. Jerry Reynolds joins us at half, and then we'll have the postgame. So no Keegan Murray tonight for Sacramento. And again, I'm only speculating, but if he's not playing tonight, I would say he's probably not playing tomorrow. But again, that's purely speculation. All right, let's get to Jerry. Jerry, what's going on today?
Hey, Grant. Sorry, I checked in a little bit late today. Just have a quick question
for you. Okay, buddy. No problem.
Yep. What Sacramento Kings team is going to show up tonight, Grant? What do you think?
I think they're going to lose.
Do you think it's going to be a close game, or do you think it's going to be a rout?
I think it will be close until the fourth quarter, but I think Milwaukee will pull away, and I think not having Keegan Murray against this lineup is going to be a real problem.
Grant, I know that the Kings, and you've said it many times, and I'm sure that your callers have said it before, Grant, that why do the Kings play down to their level of competition? You said it too. You know, the Kings should not be doing that. They're not a good team. They should not be doing that.
No, I didn't say they're not a good team. I said they are a good team, but they're not anything more than a good team.
Grant, do you think, because you just said, you said earlier that, you know, you don't think that the Kings will make the playoffs, Grant. I mean, it's, you know what? I mean, the West is so crazy.
No, I didn't say that, Jerry. Jerry, I didn't say that.
No.
What I said was, it wouldn't surprise me if the Kings didn't make the playoffs.
Okay, well, Grant, that's what I meant, Grant. From the West being the way it is, from 1 through 8, 1 through 9, yep, whatever it is, and it's like, you know, one game, two games, you know what, these losses that the Kings have had previously, you know what, it's going to come huge from a sixth seed to a ninth seed. I mean, it's like, you know what, I mean, they need to win these games that they have to win.
Obviously, so do the other teams that are in a, so does Dallas, so does Phoenix, so do the Lakers. So, I mean, yes, very true, very true. I think Dallas right now has got a much better chance of finishing ahead of Phoenix and Sacramento because they have a much easier schedule. Phoenix has a very difficult schedule when Sacramento has a very difficult schedule. I think Dallas is the team that's going to be 6, and the Kings and the Suns might be 7 and 8.
Do you think the Kings might surpass the Phoenix Suns?
They could, but they have to finish ahead of Dallas and Phoenix. That's the problem. I mean, if you finish ahead of the Suns and you're 7th, that's no big deal. I mean, the problem with that is if you finish ahead of the Suns and you have to play them in the play-in, you know, if they're healthy, I don't really like the Kings' chances against Phoenix if the Suns are totally healthy.
And Grant, just the way the seeding is now, who would, if the Kings would make the playoffs, who would you rather see in the first round if they make the playoffs?
Right now, probably Minnesota, with Karl Anthony Towns having knee surgery today, and he would probably be doubtful for the first round. And I just think that not having him on the floor, even though, you know, Naz Reid is pretty good, I think maybe Minnesota out of all the teams.
Okay, Grant. And then one more thing about the NFL. With the Eagles getting Derrick Henry, I think.
Not the Eagles, the Ravens.
I'm sorry, the Ravens.
Eagles got Saquon Barkley.
Grant, do you think that's going to help the Eagles, Grant?
Getting Saquon Barkley? Yes, it will help them. They got a good offensive line, maybe not as good as last year. They have a good offensive scheme. They have a good quarterback, although I thought he regressed a little bit. Yes, the problem with Saquon, he gets hurt too much for my liking. But yes, I think he makes them a better team. No question about that.
Do you think, Grant, with the Niners not making any big, big moves? So you said that the Niners, you feel that they're the team to beat, Grant?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? We don't know the injuries, just like you said, but they were close last year, Grant. And this team, you know, this team is stacked. Is the window closing, Grant?
Hey, folks, I want to talk to you about ZBiotics. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I got to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until I found ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. And again, I was a bit on the fence about ZBiotics initially, but then I was at a birthday party. My buddy and his wife had rented out a restaurant, and I had a couple of drinks, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot tonight. And you know what, folks? Believe me, it is the real deal. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, reunions. Hey, there's so much going on, right? Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to ZBiotics.com/Grant to get 15% off your first order when you use Grant at checkout. ZBiotics is back with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, go to ZBiotics.com/Grant. Use the code Grant at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
I don't think it's closing this year. I still think that they have a nucleus that is good for more than 1 year, in my opinion.
And do you think if they don't do it this year, Grant, Coach Shanahan, what does his job look like?
You know what? I can't answer that question because if they lose in overtime in a Super Bowl, am I going to go fire the coach?
No.
So no. I can't answer that question.
All right, sir. Well, thank you for taking my call, Grant. You have a
thank
good
you.
Day.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, let's get to some more phone calls. We say hello to John. Hey, John, how are you?
How you doing, Grant?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Oh, man, this free agent, NFL free agency, and everybody dealing running backs, taking them or giving them away and everything. Like, it seems like teams are building around running backs rather than in the, you know, recent years, people would just plug in a running back. Do you have any, you got any reason for that?
Well, the reality is that every team in the NFL needs a running back, and teams that have money under the cap are saying, yeah, we want a proven top-flight running back like a Pollard, like a Barkley, like a Eckler, like a Jacobs. You know, it's not like it's not an important position. Nobody has ever said the running back position in the NFL is not important. What they're saying is it's just devalued based on the salary cap and other positions. But, you know, the reality is if you have a good running back, then you always want a good running back. No one's ever said we don't want a good running back.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that. And it's also the longevity of the position isn't what it used to be, you know, 10,
no.
20, 30 years ago. So that really, that enlightens me a bit. And obviously, teams, they are going to plug in towards the end of the trade deadline and beginning of the season and stuff. They're going to plug guys in. But I guess that does make sense. Securing a decent running back and, you know, like guys like Barkley, Pollard and stuff like that, those guys, they don't just run the ball. They're good blockers too. And
yeah,
and
I guess they are.
That does make some sense. As for Waggus's call, thinking that the 49ers are taking a step back, it might be a half a step back, but the thing, and that's just because, you know, losing Armstead and things like that. And
yeah, but they already replaced Armstead. They already replaced them. They already just signed two very good defensive players. So I love Eric Armstead, but the reality is the Niners defense just got better over the last 24 hours, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that they took a huge step backwards, just a little bit of the age and Armstead. I don't know. Hey, Armstead, he was pretty damn good at what he did. So that.
Yeah, I love Eric Armstead. Good player. Very good player.
Oh, definitely. And John Lynch. He's a very good GM. He was a very good player. He's one smart individual. He's not, if he sees a hole in his team somewhere, he's going to do what he thinks he needs to do to plug that hole and to try and get better. So I still think that the 49ers, like you said, they might be take a half a step back, but I still think they're probably the pride of the NFC.
Yeah, and here's the other deal, John. We got to get through the rest of free agency and the draft before we start trying to handicap teams. But when I'm looking at the personnel on the 49ers, it's still, to me, as good as anybody in the NFC.
Yeah, you are right about that. You know, we all love football. That's kind of why we're probably jumping the gun on this a little bit. I mean, like you said, draft hasn't even happened. It's barely, you know, combines
are
going on, so.
Right.
It's just we all love football. That's why we're talking about it. So, but it's nice to see it. Yeah. I can't wait till it's, you know, we all can't wait till it's back. This is, you know, just after basketball, it's just going to be nothing to do. You know, the first, in my opinion, the baseball season, the first 100 games don't mean all that much. Once it starts getting into, you know, September and so forth, that's when, you know, people start looking ahead and seeing when teams start looking ahead and seeing what they can do to secure their position. So, and as for the Kings without Murray tonight, that is going to be one difficult game, especially, you know, Giannis is just a man, and they haven't, the Kings have not beat that team in a, God, 15 or 16 games. It's been years since the Kings have beat them. And understandably, they've been a good team, and the Kings have not been until, you know, last year. And like you say, this year they're a good team. They're middle of the road team, you know. They're not top 10, but they're not bottom 10 either. So,
no,
this is why we play them, though, nope. Grant. This is why we play them, man. We shall see. And the way the Kings have been up and down, who really knows? Who knows? But this tonight, this is going to be a tough one.
And, yeah, thank you, buddy.
Like you said, I think you may have said it also about tomorrow night if Keegan Murray can't go. That is going to be a tough one also. Even though we do match up well with the Lakers, Keegan Murray is one guy who helps us match up well with the Lakers. The way he's been
very, very true.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah,
thank you, buddy. Appreciate your call.
This is why we play him.
Thank you, my man.
Thanks, Grant. Have a great one.
You too. You know, again, I'm only speculating, but if Murray's not playing tonight, I just can't imagine him playing tomorrow. But maybe they also were like, well, you know what? He's iffy tonight. We really need him tomorrow. But I don't feel good. I would just think if he's not playing tonight, even if he does play tomorrow, he's going to be limited. That's just speculation on my part. All right, coming up, 6:30, pregame show, Ryan and Sacktown over on my YouTube channel. If you don't like that, Jerry Reynolds at halftime, and then a post-game show. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Jerry Reynolds over on my YouTube channel. If you don't like that, I think we'll do him tomorrow at 4. Yeah, we'll do him tomorrow. What the hell? We got to get him on before the Lakers game. And then we'll do it all again tomorrow. Always appreciate you all so much. That's redundant, isn't it? Y'all. But I do appreciate you joining me here. Appreciate your phone calls, your support. And hope you enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. And we'll talk to you later over on my YouTube channel if you don't like that. Bye-bye.